Well, good morning, family. Before we get started, I just need to get something out of the way. My name is Kirk, and yes, they named an elephant at the zoo after me this week. Some of you are like, what in the world? I had nothing to do with it, but someone brought in some peanuts and with my name on it today, so thanks for that. Yeah. Today's St. Patrick's Day, and like every holiday, it seems like it started out with a really good thing, and then it diverted to free beer, green eggs and ham, whatever. But St. Patrick, if you do some historical things, he was a British man that delivered the gospel to Ireland, and some really great things came out of that. And so, like St. Valentine and St. Patrick, these men did really great things, and now Hallmark and other people make lots of money off of them. Anyhow, my name is Kirk, and I'm not an elephant, but I look forward to meeting this elephant. Some of you know my daughter loves elephants, and so when I read the news this week that the Toledo Zoo named this baby elephant Kirk, I was just doubly thrilled and blessed. But that's not why I'm here this morning. I'm here to talk. I want to start talking about our country a little bit. I love our country. I deeply love our country. And the more I live in this country, yes, I'm getting old, the more I recognize the strengths and weaknesses. And this is true of every nation. Every country has strengths and weaknesses. And I think if we were to list all the weaknesses of our country, one of the things about our culture is that we are very impatient. Would you agree? Some of you are like, I can't wait till this sermon is over. Let's move it on, preacher man. I just got started, people. Give me a break. You know, when we stare at the microwave clock wishing it would cook faster, you know we are an impatient people. Speaking of fast, I don't know if any of you have driven an I-75 lately, but it's that sometimes it just seems like people are in quite the hurry. In fact, I used to have a problem around here in Toledo with people going through a red light. Like, this is a dangerous thing, people. I'm very serious. This whole thing about, you know, you get the yellow and then it's red. And when cars are going through like a second or two or three after it turns red, I get really concerned. Lately, it seems like people are now treating red lights as stop signs. Have you seen this? They come up to a red light, look around, and then just go right through it. I'm like, what are you so in a hurry for? We are so impatient, and we want everything now, now, now. If you've ever put money in the stock market, hoping that it's going to just make you a millionaire overnight, kind of reminds me of my grandkids that planted their garden, and then the next day they went out to see, hey, is there any food that we can pick out of our garden? Like, things take time, and yet we are so impatient. The late Dallas Willard famously gave this advice to his disciple John Ortberg. He said, ruthlessly eliminate hurry. I don't know about you, but that's hard for me. I've been meditating on this a lot. I'm hoping soon I'll get it. So today, we're concluding our 3-week series, God Cares More About Your Money Than You Do. And we're talking about the greatest investment. What's the greatest investment you've ever made? I just want you to, just where you're at, talk to someone next to you. Like, what's the greatest investment you've ever made? It could be, like, you know, making a lemonade stand when you were a kid and making all that money. It could be, whatever. Just take a minute. What's the greatest investment you've ever made? Some of you are like, what's an investment? Put that dollar in the vending machine and got that ice cold water bottle that you wanted. All right, well, I'm going to tell you one of mine. It was back several years ago, actually, it was in 2005. And before I worked for Apple, I bought 4 shares. I spent $367, and that $367 is worth over $44,000. That's a pretty good investment, huh?
I wish...
Don't clap for me. I only bought 4 shares. I should have bought 100, and then I could, like, retire. Most of my very, very modest retirement, I might say, retirement fund, my 201K or 101K, it's mostly in mutual funds. But all fruitful investments take time. Notice I didn't say that I bought those shares yesterday. That was 2005. See, we need to think about the fact that good investments take time. Any investment that you make takes time. But we want it now. We want to buy something and have it like in a vending machine. We call that, by the way, not an investment, but a transaction when you go to a vending machine. No waiting's required unless the machine is broken and you have to kick it. But when you order fast food at a drive, forget that. Fast food is not very fast anyhow. But investments, they take time. There's no instant gratification. And this is why many use financial investments to fund their retirement, because they know it's years or decades away. They also recognize the value of compounding interest and the fact that money, if you invest it properly, it will grow. It will take time to grow. And the Bible has over 2,000 references to money. And today, we're only going to look at half of them. So before we do, let's pray. God, thank you for your word, for the power of your word, for the truth of who you are. And I pray, Lord, as I so often do, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my rock, my redeemer, my king. Speak through this broken vessel to communicate truth, to transform our lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. God gives us many gifts to use. God loves to give good gifts to his children because he's a good, good father. And the thing about God's gifts is, well, we have an enemy who loves to take God's gifts and destroy them. Everything that God made was good, except for a single man, and he resolved that pretty quickly. He said it's not good for man to be alone. But the enemy can take all these beautiful things that God makes and destroys them. Think about our planet. Our planet was created filled with beauty, and yet pollution taints its splendor. Relationships are God's design, and yet they often bring the greatest pain. Sex is a wonderful gift within God-given boundaries designed to protect us between a husband and wife. Money is another tool that can be used for good or for harm. And in case you missed it, a couple weeks ago I said, very simply, if you spend less than you earn, you will never be broke. It's rocket science, I know, but it's hard for some of us to recognize that, the role of earning money and spending money. We also said to work hard, spend wisely, and give generously is a really good formula for getting rich. And not just getting materially rich, not just financially rich, but experiencing the joy of serving others, of blessing others, of, shall we say, investing in others. Those are principles for building financial wealth, for honoring God. And no matter how much money we possess, we have to make sure that our money doesn't possess us. So I want to briefly talk today about another dimension of money, and it's this idea of investing. Saving is not only a financial principle, it's a healthy discipline to save, to set aside money. Because we live in an on-demand world, we have to have it now. The whole thought of waiting, of saving for a rainy day, of setting something aside that I can't spend right now, can create anxiety for some of us. I mean, who has time to wait? The same is true with money. It's hard to wait sometimes. We either see something we want, but we want to go buy it before we have all the money, or we pay outrageous interest fees. By the way, if you make the minimum payment on your credit card, you'll never pay it off. Just something to think about there. Or we cash our paycheck and spend it all before the next one arrives with no thought of savings, much less investment. Many of you have heard of a so-called emergency fund. So-called experts differ on exact formulas, but before you spend every penny you own, consider the fact that emergencies will arise. It's just a fact of life. We get so surprised when emergencies happen, when stuff happens in our lives. It's just called life. So we need to prepare for it. We need to plan for it. Rainy days do come. And all of us have a limited number of days on earth, and days when we are able to work. Now, I realize our church family is very diverse. Some of you, you know more about money than I do. Many of you have more money than I do. And some of us struggle to save even a little, much less invest anything. We're so focused on surviving today that we can't even think about tomorrow. And then the rain comes, and we're in crisis mode. I want to remind you of the spend wisely principle of a couple weeks ago. We need to differentiate between our wants and our needs. Every advertisement, pretty much, is designed to make you discontent, to make you want more. And I've never seen a commercial that says, here's a great product or service, why don't you save up for the next 6 months and then buy it? No, it's like you have to have it right now. People are paid to convince you that desires are necessities and that you need it right now. Since each household is unique, I want to simply remind you that a budget brings freedom, not bondage, and savings should be part of your budget. It should be built in. Savings should be, whether it's a dollar per paycheck, if that's all you can afford, or 1% or 10% or more, it's essential to save and then invest that money wisely so that it can grow. And there's all sorts of great investment people, advisors that can help you so that your money grows instead of shrinks. Jesus told a great story about three men who were given money to invest. And in the 25th chapter of Matthew, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 25. Jesus tells of a man going on a long trip. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities, and then he left on his trip. Three guys. You get 1 bag of silver, you get 2 bags of silver, you get 5 bags of silver. And I think many of you are familiar with this story. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. That's a pretty good investment, right? He doubled his investment. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. So he doubled his money. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money, how they had invested his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." How would you like to be that guy? I mean, first of all, you doubled your money, and then the master comes back, and he's like, "I'm going to give you even more. You did a great job. Let's celebrate." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 2 more. The master said, say this with me, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Yeah, you've been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I'll give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Sounds familiar, right? 5 plus 5, 2 plus 2. These guys were great. They were good stewards of what they were given. And before we go to the third person, let me just say that Jesus loved to tell stories that they call parables. They're stories meant to teach, meant to instruct. And oftentimes people will take them literally. And in this case, you could certainly take this literally, though he's telling it as a story. But they also have deeper meanings. They can run parallel. This idea of being a good steward, being faithful with what you have and investing it well. We have lots of things that we can invest. Money is the one that's spoken of here. Some of you have bags of silver. Maybe. I don't know too many people that have bags of silver. But you think about bags of silver and making some sort of investment, starting a business or investing in the stock market or finding some way to expand and multiply your money. But we also have time. We have talents. We have skills. We have relationships. We have health. We have assets that we can leverage. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back." Can you imagine investing with a stock advisor or even going to the bank and putting all your money in a savings account and coming back a year later and being told you have the exact same amount of money available to you. Wait, I was trying to invest this. I expected more. I expected something more. The master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest in it." Now, a couple years ago, this would mean nothing in our culture because interest rates were like 0.0001. Although I think you're all well aware that interest rates have gone up significantly, and you can actually make some interest these days if you put money even in a basic savings account. Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." These are Jesus' words. This is Jesus' story. Like, he's not telling someone else's story. This is one of the tools, one of the lessons that he gives to his closest friends. There's so much that could be said about savings and investments, and I am not a stockbroker. I am not an investment banker, and so I don't feel qualified to take all your money and invest it. But I will tell you that there are many great resources out there. One of them I really want to highlight is called faithandfinance.org. Faithandfinance.org, and it's mentioned in your FAC flyer. It's a ministry of the Christian Missionary Alliance, and there's a whole load of free tools. No matter who you are, if you have a dollar to your name or if you have millions, if you're a young teenager or if you're a retired person, there's different pages for wherever you're at in life, and it'll guide you and help you through some steps to wisely invest whatever big or small you possess. Of course, some of you will be meeting with me and Munn Wealth Management for lunch today in Studio M if you've registered for that. His company's built upon biblical principles, and they've been extremely generous to First Alliance. This isn't like a paid endorsement or anything, but David's been a good friend of mine for many years, and there are other great resources, Ron Blue, Orchard Alliance. But I want to get back to Jesus' story of investing. It's a great picture of investing silver, but the greatest investment in the world is people. There's no greater investment than you can make than in people. You know, there's that old bumper sticker, "He who dies with the most toys wins." When you die, you can't take it with you. But you can take the investment that you made in people, because people, investments in people are eternal. Anyone know who wrote the book of Timothy? That's sort of a trick question. It wasn't Timothy. It was written to Timothy by Paul. Actually, there's two books called Timothy, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Pretty original with those names. These short letters were written from a mentor to an apprentice, from a teacher to a student, from a discipler to a disciple. And what Paul did is he made a tremendous investment in Timothy. And we've got some great instructions available, 2,000 years old, just as relevant today. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers." I want you to think about investing in people. Who are you discipling? Who are you investing in? By the way, if you're a parent or grandparent, that counts. Hopefully you're investing in your children, your grandchildren. And some of you, I know, have great-grandchildren. Tremendous investment. Perhaps the most important thing we can do in investing in another human being is to pray for them. Because there is nothing more powerful than prayer. Prayer is the primary work of God's people. And any investment you make is going to be limited by your ability to make the investment on their ability to receive the investment, and then the power of God to change and transform a life. Paul invested prayer. Night and day, he prayed for Timothy. So this morning, I want to ask you again, who are you discipling? Who are you investing in? And if you can't think of anyone, then my challenge to you very simply today is to pray and ask God to show you someone that you can develop a relationship with. This isn't a project. This is someone to love, to add value to invest your time, your talent, and treasures into their lives. Jesus' final words recorded in Matthew 28 say, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This was not to a group, this was not a pastor's conference he was speaking to. This was to his friends and said, the whole mission, the name of the game, what this whole life is about knowing God and knowing and loving other people. Or as some have said, you know God and make him known. So whomever you are investing in, you need to pray for them. Paul invested in Timothy. He says, "I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted, and I will be filled with joy when we are together again." Paul invested passion. He cried when they parted, and he longs for a joyous reunion. My best friend, besides my wife, lives in the state of Delaware. And needless to say, we don't get to see each other a whole lot, though we've been together at least once every year for the last 34-plus years. It's taken effort, but every time when I'm about to see him, I get excited. I long to be with Chris. And whenever we say goodbye, it's always hard because we know it's going to be a while before we can see each other. We have deep love for one another. And Paul had deep love for Timothy. He says, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you." Timothy was really blessed. Not only did he have Paul, but he also had a grandma and a mother that invested in him too, that added value to them, that showed him the way to follow Jesus, that showed him what it meant to be a disciple of Jesus. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you, Paul says. The Holy Spirit invested in Timothy. A spiritual gift. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you've surrendered your life to Christ, you not only get Jesus, you get the Holy Spirit too, and the Holy Spirit loves to give gifts, good gifts, and fruit. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and self-discipline. These are some of the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us. The fruit of the investment, power, love, self-discipline. Who doesn't want that? A few verses later, Paul tells Timothy to hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. So my favorite question, so what? The greatest investment you can make is not in real estate, Bitcoin, or Microsoft. It's in people, and we do that through our time, our talent, and our treasures. We must spend time with people. This is the core of discipleship, of investing, of friendships. Love is spelled T-I-M-E. How many of you have too much time? Yeah, see, time is such a valuable commodity. I mean, money, we can find ways to earn more money, but time, it passes us by. It just keeps going and going and going like a train that never stops. 24 hours a day, that's all we get. Every one of us gets it. Those really successful people, those not so successful people, the famous people, the not so famous people, we all get the same 24 hours every single day. What are you going to do with it? How are you going to invest it? How are you going to spend it in a way that stewards well and brings glory to God? There are no shortcuts. There's no hacks. You simply need to invest time in people, listening to them, eating with them, having fun with them. When is the last time you chose to spend an hour with a non-Christian with no agenda just to be with them? I've got a couple friends right now that I just love them. I love hanging out with them. They don't know Jesus yet. I've shared Jesus with them, but they're not my project. I just ask them to hang out. Hey, let's grab coffee. Hey, let's go watch a basketball game at the university.
let's play sports together. And it's a great joy, but it takes intentionality. It takes time. This Friday, we have a golden opportunity to be with people from around the world who are asking the question, what is Easter? And that's the question I'm going to answer. It's one of the greatest privileges of the entire year for me to answer the question, what is Easter, to a group of people from around the world. And I ask you, please pray for me, because it's such a gift. Many have never heard, and it's just, once again, Pastor Donald mentioned it, but we really need more people to sign up to help. So one way you can invest in people is to come Friday and bring food, serve, help. Sign up in the lobby. Another simple investment you can make is praying for and inviting people to our Easter celebration in 2 weeks. I was trying to think about like a wager that I could make, and so I'm going to throw this out. So anyone that will spend the next 2 weeks praying for 5 people every day and inviting 5 people to our Easter service, if no one shows up, I'll give you $5. Okay? Is this a bribe? Can I bribe people? I don't know. Is that acceptable? Forget the money. I want you to understand the point. If you pray for and invite people that don't know Christ to our Easter service, they're going to get to hear the gospel. They're going to have fun. We're going to just throw a party because that's what we like to do on Easter. Actually, I like to throw parties every Sunday, because every Sunday is a opportunity to celebrate the resurrection, isn't it? He's risen. Well, that was a little warm-up for some of you. Some of you are like, what just happened? Come back in 2 weeks. You'll see. Another way to invest in people is through your talents and abilities, and this might include our home missions partners that we talked about last Sunday. We've got 10 home missions partners that will love whatever gifts, whatever talents. Some of you are really good at engineering and tech stuff. You build stuff. You like to be with people. You like children, whatever. There are all sorts of ways you can invest your talents. You can cook food for dinner church. You can assist on our next Alpha course, which we're going to start on April 11th on Thursdays. Our current course is about to end on Wednesdays, and I'm excited to announce we're going to do our next course after Easter. It's going to start on Thursday, so some of you are like, I can't do Wednesday, but I can do Thursday. So we'd love for you to come along on Alpha course. What's Alpha? Come along and find out. It's a Christianity 101 course. It's designed for atheists, agnostics, skeptics, new believers, anyone. It goes through the basics of Christianity with free food, interactive discussion, and a video. It's the best 90 minutes of my week, or at least 90 of the best minutes of my week, I should say. You can also make a financial investment in people, given your treasures. When you put money in the Dropbox, that's an investment in people, because we're in the people business. We are not in the real estate business. We're not in the distributing religious goods and services business. We're in the people business, and we're making investments in people, investments in our community and beyond. We have First Alliance. We have FAC Missions and the Great Commission Fund, which serves our international workers of our Christian Missionary Alliance family all over the world, including the Dominican Republic and Germany. By the way, you can also support the Germany trip by volunteering at the Mud Hens game. And we got some good weather coming up, some free food if you work the concessions at the Mud Hens. And it's a way to help raise money for our trip. We're serving a team. And actually, we just found out this week, we're not only serving the team in Germany, but we are providing content for this retreat, the first retreat ever at this new church in Northeast Germany. And so we got a whole list of responsibilities and stuff to prepare this week. And I was like, wow, we got some work to do. But they're going to have a speak. We're going to be training the kids, training the adults, doing quite a bit of work over there in Germany. And so your prayers and your financial help are appreciated. You know, financial investments are great, especially as we age and we become unable to work and earn income. Starbucks stock was worth more than 11 times its value between 2000 and 2016. Monster beverage stock was worth 24 cents in 2001 and grew to over $150. But it takes time. Investments take time. There's only one investment that's eternal, and it's not about money. It's about people and introducing people to Jesus.
The greatest investment you can make is investing in people, loving people, serving people, praying for people, introducing people to Jesus. Several weeks ago, my sermon was entitled, Evangelize Now. Evangelize, share good news. That's what it means. You don't need a megaphone. It just means share good news. Tell others about Jesus now. Tomorrow could be too late for them or too late for you. Investing in people always begins with prayer. Pray that God would lead you to the right people, that he would prepare their hearts, and that he would give you wisdom and words. If you want a next step, listen to them. Don't bombard them with information. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Listen. Listen to their story. Listen to their hurts. What are they afraid of? What is making them anxious? What do they love to do? Eat with them. This is one of my favorites because I like to eat. Grab coffee. There's something powerful about food and relationships. The Bible's packed with stories of food, including the very manner in which we remember the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Eat with them. Serve them. Put your faith into action. And finally, share your story. Share his story. After you've listened to theirs and served them, you've likely earned the right to share your story. And if you begin the process praying for them, there's a good chance that they'll be interested in learning more. So for those of you that are really awake this morning, you'll notice this is all about bless, how we can bless people. We all like to be blessed. What would it look like for us to be a blessing to others? This is just a really simple formula to do that. And by the way, I found out just recently there's something called the Bless app. It's free. It's available in your smartphone store. If you look up the Bless app, it'll actually tell you who your neighbors are, and you can begin to pray for them. It'll give you reminders to pray for them and to find ways to interact with the people around you. Now, Jesus invested his life in 12 people, really in three. Who's your one? Just one. If each one of you invested in one person over the next several months, the next several years, God only knows the impact that that would have, not only on First Alliance, but on our city, our nation, and our world. But we must be intentional. It takes time. Family, just listen to me today doesn't make it happen any more than watching an exercise video helps you lose weight. We got to put this into practice. And so this is my challenge. Who's your one? Who are you praying for? Who are you listening to? Who are you spending time with? Who are you inviting to our Easter celebration? All investments take time, but the results will be worth it in the end. As our music team comes up for our closing song, I want to talk, share with you a writing from C.T. Studd. I just like his name. That's a cool name. My name's C.T. Studd. This is what he wrote. He said, two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bringing conviction to my heart, and from my mind would not depart. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day, my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. It continues on and on and on. There's several stanzas to this. The last one says, only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. See, family, the greatest investment has nothing to do with money. I mean, money can be a factor. You can use your money and invest it, but the greatest investment is in people. And my heart is just burdened for the people of our community. So many people will be dying today in our city having no idea who Jesus is.
Many people around the world will die today, having never even heard the name of Jesus. And we are all called, every one of us, to go and make disciples, to make investments, to pray, to listen, to eat, to serve, and to share. We're going to close with a song called Come to the Altar. And we have an altar, and you're welcome to use it. And maybe you want to just take some time and pray that God would reveal a name to you. Maybe there's some confession that needs to take place. There's a lot of talk around our nation right now about revival, but the key to revival, it begins with repentance, recognizing that we have screwed up, but we've all screwed up. But also recognizing that forgiveness is available, and today is the first day of the rest of your life. So will you please stand? We'll sing together. And again, if you'd like to take advantage of the altar, you're welcome to do so.